Welcome to Reputation Online, a podcast about how individuals and organizations can develop and protect their reputation on the internet. We talk to business leaders, journalists, and PR professionals about the growing importance of social media and the challenges to business communicators.
Hi, I'm Steve Cropper. Throughout history, libraries have stood at the center of a community and have played a crucial role as the storehouse of culture and learning. These days, as billions of people around the world are increasingly using the internet to access literature, we may ask, what will be the role of the library of the future? Will the big building in the center of town become redundant, possibly replaced by an elaborate website? Well, my guest this week is with the State Library of New South Wales. She says libraries are enhanced by the internet, not threatened by it, and that a physical library building is here to stay. To talk about the online library of the future, welcome Noel Nelson.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, Noel. Now, some people might ask, if everything is basically available online, why do we need libraries? Is today's library, in its present form at least, an endangered species?
Well, libraries are actually remarkably successful and adaptive species. We can actually date our existence back from the early beginnings in the 3rd century BC with the Library of Alexandria. So rather than being endangered, libraries are actually, in fact, embracing new technologies. They're very responsive beings, libraries. We're being enhanced by the internet, not being diminished. We've got more opportunities now than ever before to really make our collections, our expertise and our services available to people no matter where they might live. So the library's excited about the internet.
Well, that's good. There is a stampede towards online content these days. Actually, I was working with your folks the other day. I was surprised to see some recent research indicating that attendance at physical libraries is in fact going up. What were those numbers again? How do you explain that?
The figures are, we collect stats on the usage of public libraries across New South Wales, and these figures show that in the year 2008-2009, 37 million visits to libraries. That's a 15% increase over the last 5 years. 50 million loans. And internet use is the greatest growth of all. That's up by 30%. Half of the population of New South Wales are library members. I think you need to remember that not everybody has internet access. The census that the Australian Bureau of Statistics did, the latest one, showed that a third of households didn't have access to the internet. So people are using their libraries in new ways now. They're using online materials. And libraries are really a key feature of the community. You'll find libraries in the main streets, in shopping centres, in civic precincts. They're sometimes referred to as the living room of the city. They're more than books now. They're a community space. There's not many organisations where anyone from any age can actually come in and be welcome to use those sort of facilities.
Yeah, it's a town square of the 21st century. Now, the State Library of New South Wales, just like libraries all around the world, I'm guessing, is busily digitising its resources for uploading onto the internet. What do you find are the most in-demand e-resources the library is offering? What do your browsers look for mostly nowadays?
We've just done some recent work on that, and the most popular items are databases like Ancestry that people would know about because it has to do with family history, the Times Digital Archive, and British Library newspapers because of our origins and people wanting to research their ancestors going back in time, then British Library newspapers are very popular. We've also got something that looks at newspapers around the world. We've got a database called Library Press Display that gives us access to 1,000 newspapers in 40 languages from 84 countries. So that's a very popular resource. Things like, we have 35,000 online journals, which may surprise you. Journals like the Harvard Business Review, Nature, Lancet, The Economist, and people could access those whether they are actually in the library or from home, depending on the agreements that we have for suppliers. So they can download an article, have it on their PC or print it off and take it off, do some research, go off to their board meeting, And that's actually the biggest increase of all. We've had something like nearly 500% increase in online resources over the last 5 years.
I'm talking to Noel Nelson from the State Library of New South Wales. Noel, you've just been mentioning quite a long list of media resources that have been digitised and are now made available online through the State Library of New South Wales. And recently we watched a debate between Rupert Murdoch and some others in the online media space about charging for online content. But the State Library's policy is to provide online content for free, isn't it? Now, why is that, and what's wrong with the concept of user pays?
Look, it's absolutely contradictory to libraries and the whole ethos of libraries to have user pays. It's recognised that access to information is a fundamental human right. I mean, we even have organisations globally like UNESCO that issued a public library manifesto back in 1994 saying that libraries provide a basic condition for lifelong learning, independent decision making and cultural development, and that they should be free of charge. And we've got our own, nationally, the Australian Library and Information Association, which issued a statement on free access to information, really asserting that freedom can be protected in a democratic society only if citizens have unrestricted access to information and ideas. And here in New South Wales, we've got our Library Act, which requires that any person who's a resident of a local area is entitled to membership of their library free of charge and have free access to library material. So you can see that libraries are really recognised as being a fundamental access to information for everyone. And really, people have already paid for the resources that are in libraries. Libraries are the people's resource. They already own those collections. Held by public libraries or the state library. They've already paid for these collections via their rates or their taxes. So I think that because of all of those things, then that it's really, if libraries ever charge, they'd be a very different type of organisation with a very different guiding philosophy.
Well, it's all very laudable stuff, of course. I mean, nobody would want to debate it. It just occurs to me that, you know, there is such a large chunk of the media, shall we say most of the media, is a private enterprise. They're in the business of selling news, and that's how they earn their money. Now, if Rupert Murdoch, for example, wants to start charging for content online, and yet you can go and get it for free at your local library, does that put you and Rupert Murdoch and his ilk into conflict potentially?
I don't think so, because libraries are already paying suppliers. All those resources that I mentioned to you, we buy. We negotiate licences to make those available for people. So I think that we're already within a supplier environment as well, and it's our role to provide these resources for free.
Well, you know, technology advances so fast, and we can only guess at what we'll have, you know, in half a century's time. I remember back what life was like in the 70s, for instance. I never in my wildest dreams imagined anything like a mobile phone, let alone an iPhone, except maybe watching Star Trek. But looking at it from the perspective of today in 2010, Noel Nelson, how do you imagine the library of the future will look? How do you see it in your mind's eye?
That's a really interesting question, isn't it? And it's the sort of thing that as librarians we spend time thinking about and imagining and conjuring up what that library might look like. I think libraries will continue to evolve. People have a real thirst for knowledge and a need to connect, and I think they will continue to evolve in new ways that we can't imagine at the moment. Interestingly, social researchers say we've actually moved from an information age now to a network age, and I think libraries are well positioned there. As people search for more connectivity and more interaction, I think they'll use collections in different ways. We might see more interactive exhibitions of our material, more creative use of it. At the moment, a lot of it's hidden away, so it's vital that we digitise and provide those online. Maybe there'll be more collaboration with online digital exhibitions, with libraries, museums and galleries. There might be more opportunities for more personalised service. Certainly there'll be more role with education and virtual classrooms, I can imagine. Opportunities to build local communities and communities of interest where people would connect and be in the library. I think there will always be a place for the library as a community space as well. The library's role really is such a fundamental one, to collect all the memories, all our all our experiences of living here, and our diaries, our letters, our writings, our thoughts, our feelings. And I think that that sort of role will continue. We'll continue to preserve those items and make them available. And I think regardless of how access to information evolves in time, those sort of that fundamental role of the library will be a constant.
With the State of Origin football match between New South Wales and Queensland very recently, we've just seen a big fanfare around 3D television. And I'm just wondering if there's some way of getting virtual reality or augmented reality or three-dimensional television so that people could attend a library or a library's information virtually.
Oh, I think that, well, that is something that would be fantastic, and I can easily imagine that. People love to see real objects. The State Library of New South Wales has, of course, an internationally renowned collection of original items going back to our founding of the colony right up to modern day. We've got a fabulous exhibition on here at the moment called 100 Years of Collecting. And there's an object there which is the Macquarie's Collector's Chest. It's a collection of natural specimens in back in the 1800s, and we have tried to make that something that you can have a virtual experience of, because it's a wonderful cabinet. You can pull out the drawers and see original specimens of birds, of shells, of butterflies, and on top of the cabinet is illustrations by the convict artist Joseph Lycett. To be able to experience that in 3D would be wonderful, and I think that's the way libraries will go as they digitise and provide more and more of their objects online. We've got something like 5 million items, many of them hidden away. The more that we can digitise and get them online, and if you like, make them available in 3D, the more enriched people's lives will be looking at their rich history.
These days, however, you've still got to go and touch these things in person at your local library. Perhaps it will be possible in the library of the future. Noel Nelson from the State Library of New South Wales, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
And if you have a comment about this podcast or a suggestion for a future program, please visit our website at www.reputationaustralia.com.au. Your feedback and ideas are always welcome. I'm Steve Cropper, looking forward to your company next time round.